You're listening to The Big Show with Patrick Dumas on Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Here we go. Big Show Hour 4 live from the Doug Lacey's Basement Systems downtown studio. Cracked foundation, Boeing foundation walls. We have a simple permanent solution to stabilize your foundation. Contact Basement Systems. They're all things basementy. Visit dlbasementsystems.com. Flames, one more game to go. They'll be at home tomorrow night against the San Jose Sharks. They fell last night 4-1 to the Vancouver Canucks in the penultimate game for their season. We'll see who goes in net. It was Jacob Markstrom last night. Probably Dustin Wolf tomorrow because he only gets to play against the San Jose Sharks, it seems. That's okay. But we're almost done here, Flames fans. And the postseason will be here on the 20th. But way back in October.
Yes.
We all do. I don't know if this is just what radio shows do or sports shows do. They just make predictions for the hell of it. And
I hate making predictions. I understand,
because
yeah.
We all look like crap in the end here. So
you really do set yourself up for failure when you're doing that. Because how many of these you're really going to get right? Almost next to nothing.
I mean,
we'll find out.
Exactly. We'll find out here. Well, it's mainly going through the award predictions. I know of one prediction I made. Two. I know two predictions I made. One of them is just downright trash.
A lot of the ones that I made were just chalk.
Hey. I mean, if you look at the Hart Trophy, if you said, hey, the finalists would be Nikita Kucherov, Nathan MacKinnon, and Connor McDavid, you'd be like, yeah, okay.
Yeah, exactly.
I think those are probably the finalists. You throw Matthews in there, you can inter-switch them. Like, yeah, those are probably the candidates for a Hart Trophy. The Vezina, I think, I think a lot of people, I know my Vezina Trophy prediction as well. And I thought he might be a finalist.
Mm-hmm.
Who knows? He's probably not going to win it because I think we all know he's going to win the Vezina Trophy. That's Connor Hellebuck's trophy. But
yeah,
but we'll run through these predictions. We'll start with the coach of the year, the Jack Adams. This is usually a coach maybe into a new situation, catches a team, fire in a bottle type thing, kind of like you see the candidates here.
Yes.
Rick Tocchet.
I was very optimistic.
Andrew Brunette. Those are the guys. Rick Bonus could be a possibility as well. These are the guys that, their teams maybe not had the highest expectations.
Torts if they made playoffs.
Torts for
that,
sure.
That's gone now.
I think, for Philadelphia, they're all gone. And even so, I think almost Rick Tockett's job was probably a little bit better, where you can almost compare what Tockett did last year with the Canucks.
Yeah, I was about to say, Tockett had the benefit of, kind of
building up.
Exactly.
Getting his system in there. And then running it this year, we see the Canucks Pacific Division champion and still have an outside chance of being the overall number one seed in the Western Conference. But without further ado, these were our Jack Adams predictions. We made these on October 6th. It was all the world was we weren't tainted by the NHL season yet.
No,
I had the Flames making the playoffs. I didn't.
I did. Too.
I had them as the second wild card team.
I mean, you'll hear what I said about the coach of the year here. About the Flames.
Yes. Here is our Jack Adams predictions from earlier on. Jack Adams here.
I feel like this is a bit of a hot take, a bit of a spicy take out of you, boy. But if we have a great season here, if we have a great start and we're able to get into a division playoff spot or even into that second spot, mm-hmm. I think Ryan Huska could be a candidate.
I like Dan Granato.
oh man.
okay, Huska, whatever. Okay, that's fine. First year, he'll be back. Flames are in a retool. Dan Granato got fired yesterday.
Yes, he did.
you'll notice that I had a lot of love for the Buffalo Sabres.
Yeah, hey, man, I did too. I thought they would be a team that would be kicking around the playoffs as well. But
Dan Granato, oh my God, that was bad.
And I was just, saying Huska for the sake of a bold take there. But if the Flames were in a spot where the Kings are or where the Oilers are, then maybe he'd get a nod. But
what's
really
my reasoning here? I like Dan Granato, Don Granato in Buffalo. I really like the Sabres as well. I think they're going to take another step forward with that group. Don Granato's the guy. Boof, they took a massive step back. Casey Mittelstadt said it, as soon as he got
Tage Thompson
Colorado.
Took a step back too, which is something
guys,
not everyone saw.
These guys practice hard out here in Denver.
Yeah.
It's not the same Buffalo as they're entering a... Man, I don't know how many years it's going to take. They've got the nice little pieces. They're still young, but
yeah.
Man, there ain't enough veteran talent around there. It's going to start with the head coach.
Mm-hmm.
I heard, the names will be out there. I wonder if Jeff Merrick brought up Lindy Ruff.
Yeah.
I wonder if he goes back to Buffalo. Because I know maybe wasn't really his fault in New Jersey. We can kind of say that, you know, from fire Lindy to, you know, winning a playoff round last year to being fired this year. The Devils probably.
I still think they got a bunch of really nice pieces with Buffalo. You know, I think the Bowen Byram trade was an awesome fit there.
Like Owen Power's just going to keep getting better and better. Rasmus Dahlin took another step forward this year. Quietly, he's going to be their leading scorer this year, Rasmus Dahlin. 59 points. Mm-hmm. That's the leading
scorer. Like, Ukko Pekka-Luukkonen has been good for them between the pipes. And, like, you're going to want more out of Devin Levi, obviously, for them. But, you know, we'll see how it goes with Buffalo.
Yeah, so 0-1 for our through our Jack Adams predictions. That was hilarious. Jack Adams 0-1, 0-1. Okay, let's go to Rookie of the Year here. I don't think anybody.
This one should be chalk.
This should be chalk. Or did we get cocky and stupid back
know.
In October?
I know.
Your Calder Trophy winner, Rookie of the Year.
Again, I feel like this is chalk. Connor Bedard. I feel like this. Mm-hmm. Okay. I've said it to you. Like, I think he's on 40 goal watch. I think he should be a point per game player.
And he probably would
probably
be
would have, if he didn't get hurt.
If he wasn't hurt, didn't miss all those games with the broken jaw, he's probably a point per game guy, maybe a 40 goal guy. But I think we've seen what Connor Bedard can do. They're going to take another step forward next year. Blackhawks thinking they want to contend in 2 years. Mm-hmm. That's where they want to start making their hay up the standings. They'll have the cap space. Guys will want to play in that city with that player. Yeah. Like, they didn't have Taylor Hall for a good chunk of this year as well.
True,
they'll be getting him back. I know there's still lots to figure out in
Foligno's
Chicago.
Foligno's been a really good mentor for Bedard
exactly.
as well.
And if they get some lottery luck again this year, you add Celebrini to that mix.
That'd be crazy.
Celebrini and Bedard could be both playing for Team Canada.
Bedard would be on my roster for Team Canada for sure.
Bedard. It's easy.
Yeah.
Bedard winning the Calder. Yep. So I know there was a little bit of push there from Brock Faber. He's been a great add there in Minnesota on the blue line. But despite Bedard being injured for all that chunk of time, he should be the ultimate winner for the Calder Trophy. So we did pretty good there, but that was probably the easiest trophy.
Give us a ding
of everybody. This I know was really, really bad. This is
why don't you just play it?
This is the Rocket Richard.
Okay,
your Rocket Richard winner.
See, I was kind of humming and hawing on this. I don't want to keep going Dallas Stars, Dallas Stars, Dallas Stars. So again, I'm gonna go to the Oilers. I'm gonna say Leon Draisaitl.
Okay, so Leon Draisaitl. He's not going to win the Calder, but he still had him.
Because I remember when we made these picks, I reasoned it as if like McDavid would have an unbelievable year assist-wise. So I didn't expect Zach Hyman to be on the receiving end for all these assists from McDavid. So that was my reasoning.
So Leon Draisaitl, pick it up, Leon. 41 goals, 65 assists, 106 points in 80 games. Damn it, you're slacking, bud. No, still a great year from Leon Draisaitl, but not Calder worthy or Rocket Richard worthy as a. As that will be Austin Matthews Trophy in the end.
Wanting to go for 100 assists, it feels just about do whatever he wants. Okay.
It's probably not going to hit, but I think he's going to have a 50 goal year. I think Timo Meier. Timo Meier, and I know Frank called me out for that too when I said that because he was not good last year in the playoffs. He had a lot of injuries this year with New Jersey. Timo Meier, he will finish this year. 28 goals, 24 assists in 69 games played for 52-point year. I don't know what the hell I was on.
Felt
that
felt like
day.
A hipster pick.
That was very hipster pick.
Yes.
New Jersey was a hot team, and Timo Meier was not. So that's a big ol'. Yeah. So good for you picking on Leon. Leon, that makes sense. He could do that, 40 goals, but not a Rocket shot. So we're going to go. X's on the Rocket, but better pick from you, GVP. I feel like a joke. Let's go to the Vezina Trophy here. Vezina.
Again, I'm going to go to the Dallas Stars. I think Jake Oettinger is the best goalie in the Western Conference.
Jake Oettinger, he has, despite Dallas Stars being the number one team in the Western Conference right now, Jake Oettinger not having a Jake Oettinger-type season. It's still a very good season. Not going to be a Vezina-type season.
Been really good down the stretch.
Very good down the stretch. He had an eight game winning streak there before the Jets beat them there 3-0. Jake Oettinger, his stats this year. I mean, he's 53 games played, 34 wins, got 3 shutouts, 2.76 goals against, and a .904 saves. So yeah, goals against, save percentage. That's becoming more and more of a team stat. I think you look at the Stars probably in their defensive play and everything since they added Chris Tanev. I think everybody feels a little bit better about Jake Oettinger because. The six guys he gets to play in front of probably one of the best six defensemen you have in the postseason heading out right now.
Yeah, exactly. Like, you know, you know what you have in Dallas when it comes with them defensively, with Heiskanen, you know, leading that charge. They added a guy in Thomas Harley, too, to that blue line as a young
Harley
guy.
Harley was
as
not
well.
Expected at the start of the year. Harley was not expected to be playing alongside Miro Heiskanen.
That's just another guy. They've added a young guy that, you know, it's just they've just been able to develop like crazy, right? So it's been, you know, pretty awesome what you're seeing out of Dallas when it comes to their blue line.
Okay, so you had Jake Oettinger.
Mm-hmm. If they're a President's Trophy winner, he's going to be a big part of that reason, and they're going to have to rely on him for a deep playoff run. So I think Jake Oettinger is going to win the Vezina.
The comeback tour of Sergei Bobrovsky continues. I think he's going to win another Vezina Trophy, cement that Hall of Fame status a little bit more. Okay, so Sergei Bobrovsky was my pick to win the Vezina Trophy. He, statistically-wise, he should be a finalist. Probably not going to win it. He's tied for third in wins with 36. Got a .237 goals against, .915 save percentage. Florida, right there with Winnipeg, is the two best defensive teams in the entire National Hockey League. I believe the Jets have a 3-goal lead right now with one game to play in the Jennings race.
Yeah.
We all think Connor Hellebuck will be the ultimate winner of that Vezina Trophy, but if I had to maybe, you know, figure Thatcher Demko was going to be a finalist, but he ran into some injury trouble there. Figured Hellebuck's a finalist, Bobrovsky, and I wonder, you know, like, Shesterkin had a nice run here at the end. UC Saros has been a big part of Nashville's ride up the standings here as well. So
I'm trying to find that third finalist.
Really,
I don't think you were too far off with that prediction, really. Like, Bobrovsky having just an outstanding playoff run last season.
Well, exactly.
Kind of coming out of nowhere
because
for
of
Bobrovsky
where he was
last season,
during
right?
the regular season last year.
So maybe you'd think he'd carry all that momentum.
Alex Lyon.
Yeah.
Alex Lyon was the reason they got into the postseason. Mm-hmm. He was the goaltender of note for a lot of those wins down the stretch for Florida.
Bobrovsky was straight up mid last season until the playoffs. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it took him all the way to game 5 of the Stanley Cup final. So a little bit better. We're okay on the Vezina picks, I think, there. Nothing too outlandish there. The Norris Trophy. This one, I know my pick. Your Norris.
Again, this feels chalk. If Cale Makar is fully healthy and ready to go, I think he's easily the best defenseman
in the NHL. He could
get
100 points.
I think so as well.
Okay, so Cale Makar was your pick. He's probably not going to win the Norris Trophy this year. That's probably going to be a Quinn Hughes thing. But, I mean, that was a fine pick. I think Cale Makar has been a great player for what the Colorado Avalanche have asked for him this year. I don't know his exact stat line off the top of my head, but it's still not 100 points, but still a very nice season nonetheless from Cale Makar. I like Rasmus Dahlin.
Okay.
I think this is the next great defenseman in the NHL. Like, we've already saw a little bit of it last year, and just the next one's coming in Owen Power as well. Okay, so I had Rasmus Dahlin. He'll end up leading his team in scoring. He'll be the leading scorer for the Buffalo Sabres this year.
I mean, like, he's a guy that you could understand that should be in the conversation amongst the elite defenders in the NHL, right? Like, maybe he's, you know, taking a step back a tad from where he was last season, putting up 59 points. He's 10th in defensive scoring across the league this year. But, I mean, I don't think it's a crazy stretch to say that Dahlin's name should be within the conversation of some of those other guys across the league.
Figure your finalists will be Quinn Hughes, Cale Makar, and Roman Josi. Hughes with 91 points, one game to play.
Does Bouchard get a look at anything? Does he get?
He'll
like,
get votes.
Any, yeah, he'll get votes. He's I don't got know 81 points right now. I know he doesn't necessarily play the defensive side of the puck all that well, but 81 points is 81 points. He's got 18 goals as well.
Yeah, I think
quarterbacks at power play.
I just think they'll look at Josi. And they'll be like, okay, well, what he's done with Nashville, he's Nashville's best player. He's Nashville's MVP. If you really wanted to give the Hart Trophy to a player that really mattered the most to their team, Roman Josi's probably a finalist. I know he doesn't have the points for it, but 85 points for a defenseman. He's probably the greatest Predator of all time, I would say, right now.
Yeah.
Like, he's
right
already well on his on that trajectory. He's already won a Norris Trophy. And I think he's one of the more, because he's in Nashville, and I think because the Predators haven't had a long, sustained run in the postseason outside of that one cup final a few years back. Like, and Roman Josi doesn't get nearly enough love around the league because he's not like a Cale Makar. He's not like the Quinn Hughes. He's still kind of that throwback style defenseman that's just evolved more and more on the offensive side of things.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I think he... I wouldn't call him underrated, if that makes sense, but maybe he doesn't get the same amount of love that someone like Makar gets or Heiskanen
or
gets
Hedman
nowadays
even.
Or Quinn Hughes with the season that he's having, but, you know, deservedly so for him. But I wouldn't call him underrated, but sure, if you wanted to give him a Hart Trophy nod for, if you're just looking at it,
I'm just looking at the definition of
most valuable, where would this team be without this best player? Then yeah, I understand that. Is he having the best season amongst the NHL players? No, but yeah, if you're looking at the root term, then he'd be considered, I guess.
Time for the President's Trophy that was going to be awarded to the New York Rangers.
Dallas Stars, my President's Trophy winner.
Okay, mine are the New Jersey Devils.
Okay.
Man, I was loving the Devils.
You were. I was all over the Stars, it sounded like, when we were doing these predictions.
Well, that's a little bit more, that's a little smarter. But the Devils were a complete disaster this year. If they could just get a dang save, they might have been an all right team this year. And that'll be their story in the offseason. They've gotten, and obviously, Dougie Hamilton, injuries and goaltending has been their main problem in New Jersey this year. They get healthy. They can figure out that goaltending. I think Jersey will be back right in the postseason next year. But Dallas, they're hanging on there for the longest time. That loss there to Winnipeg maybe took them out of the whole thing. But it's still going to be a chance, probably the number one seed in the Western Conference. And look at that, our Hart Trophy predictions. Hart Trophy winner. Simple.
Connor McDavid.
Yeah.
Chalk, but.
We both had Connor McDavid to win the Hart Trophy.
A safe pick.
It is the safe
pick. It's always a safe pick.
And I mean, at point, you know, maybe if he didn't have the injury at the start of the year, he probably might be the Hart Trophy winner. Who knows?
Yeah, maybe.
If he does have the full, you know, an 80-game slate underneath him. But, you know, the missed time, it's hard for me, especially if Kucherov gets the 100 assists here with one
game
to play tonight.
Like,
he's got more goals than
McDavid.
He's got
11 more goals than
him. He's got 11 more goals.
And the gap between him and Braden Point is like almost like 50 now or something, right?
But, you know, that's happened before. Like, Mario Lemieux had, was it, it was like 95, 96 or one of those years in the end.
Mm-hmm.
He ended up outscoring his entire team by like 89 points. Or was it 88, 89?
Was it when he had the 199?
It might have been that year. And he ended up winning the Hart because I think Gawain just had a better year than him. But Lemieux had a giant gap as well. So I think it was 88, 89. But either way, we've seen it before where a giant point gap doesn't necessarily get you the Hart Trophy. And Taylor Hall was probably the most recent example where, you know, he just ran up the scoring and carried the Devils into the playoffs back then. But I think it's a coin flip right now between Kucherov and McKinnon, but I'd have to lean Kucherov.
I'm leaning Kucherov, I think. Like, I'm not – if you take Kucherov away from this Tampa team, they're still – are they a playoff team, really? I don't know.
They're a wild card one team as it is right now. And this is a team that didn't have Andrei Vasilevskiy for a good chunk of their time. And when he came back, he wasn't playing very well. Vasilevsky's been playing like an older Vasilevskiy. Victor Hedman quietly going about his game as well. Stamkos having another nice season. Braden Point was knocking on 50 goals.
Yeah. It's like
there's a dangerous talent team there.
Yeah.
And Florida and Tampa Bay in the first round, that is going to be an absolute war, I think. But yeah, GVP, I think you nailed your predictions a lot more than I did.
My
love of the Sabres and Devils.
Fair enough. I to be fair, mine were a lot of chalk. Like I said, Makar Norris. I said Calder Bedard.
Half the guys at Sportsnet have the Oilers winning the cup. So, more than half.
I also said rematch of 06, Oilers and Hurricanes.
Yeah, I had Carolina Dallas as my final. It all gets underway on Saturday. Saturday afternoon will be the first games, and then Hockey Night in Canada. Don't know the schedule. We'll probably know the schedule Thursday after the final regular season games are done. But we're
talking about other races across the league this year, like the playoff race, MVP race. But I think this first round in the playoffs, maybe outside of the Hurricanes and Islanders, this should
be a rematch of last year.
I don't want to give that series any flack, but I think this is going to be one of the better first round playoffs we've seen in a long time.
I think, you know, with just Vegas,
a lot of great matchups.
Vegas being that weird, you know, they are a true wild card because they will, if they, you know, right now they are in the third spot in the Pacific Division, but they are a wild card in all of this. And I think all of what their success is banking on, if the sooner they get Mark Stone into the lineup, the better for them. But again, how much?
I think Tampa's a true wild card,
Tampa as well is a team. Tampa and Vegas are both teams that nobody wants to play, and they're both going to be starting on the road.
And I know Nashville cooled right off here, but like, that's still a team that I think can make a series interesting.
It's the travel there is, if it is Vancouver, like that's like a 3-4 hour time difference there.
Yeah.
From the Pacific to the Central, this is a 3 hours, sorry, to the Central time zone there. Nashville takes one in Vancouver. Who knows? Like that's what I mean. Like home ice only matters if you really take your first two games.
Right.
And so, yeah, I think Nashville could totally take out Vancouver. I think Winnipeg and Colorado is going to be a war.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel sorry for the team that ends up winning that game because of how beat up are they going to be coming into the second round?
Yeah.
Potentially taking on Dallas Stars in the second round there, too. So the West is like what the East was last year. It's going to be a war.
The West is a war.
Where all the player movement, like last year it was everyone in the West to the East. This year it was East to the West. That power shift is there. I think there's more stronger teams in the West, but I think they're all going to beat each other up.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that might be a benefit to whoever ends
like
up coming out
of the Rangers
East.
That you think probably like has the easiest first round matchup, a team that has a lot of offense taking on a team that can't keep the puck out of their net in Washington Capitals.
Florida is a team that plays like that Western style, you know.
Oh, they smother you defensively.
Crash and bang type style, but they also have some skill. They got freaking Sam Reinhardt scoring, 57 goals this year.
Wow.
Matthew Tkachuk is a game breaker as well. Florida is that team that they like their draw here, I think.
Yeah.
They like this draw. They like, I don't know, like Tampa's going to give them a fight, but if they can get through Tampa, I think the road Florida opens up a lot better and they can see themselves getting back to that cup final.
Yeah, I don't think that's crazy either. They're a team that's, they know they can get there now. And they're getting healthy now. People forget that Matthew Tkachuk cracked his sternum in half, and now he's getting healthy. And Ekblad dealt with stuff.
Ekblad will be healthy for night one. It should it looks like. And then you've got Sergei Bobrovsky now.
Yeah.
Who is that true brick wall again? Florida will be scary in the East. But yeah, I think we kind of agree. I think Boston Toronto could be a long series. I don't think both teams are very happy with how they've played this season, despite having over 100 points. I think both agreed that they could probably have been better at certain points. But with Toronto, it's all going to come down to that goaltending.
Yep.
Who's it going to be? Is it going to be Samsonov? Is it going to be Wall? Those guys have to be the game breakers to steal that series. And then defensively, we know what the Leafs defense core is like. I think Boston's defense core might be able to smother them a bit, but who knows? I think that's going to be a good series. You're right. This first round is going to be super fun.
I'm hoping for just another classic Bruins Leafs, something with heartbreak at the end for either team. I think that's going to be a fun series.
It should be, and everything gets underway Saturday afternoon right here on the home of the NHL and the Stanley Cup playoffs, Sportsnet. Around the corner, we'll get you set for the day ahead in sports and maybe replay a little bit of our Pete Blackburn conversation. That's next as Big Show Hour 4 continues here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. Welcome back to Big Show Hour 4 here. A little news. The Minnesota Wild have signed Marc-Andre Fleury to a one-year, $2.5 million extension. Had an okay so-so year, 17-14-5. 298, 895. It's been a tough year defensively there.
I'm kind of glad he's found
Minnesota.
A nice little home, right? Like,
there.
You know, he got
it.
Booted out of Vegas. Mm-hmm. He went to Chicago, and that just wasn't a good fit. Yep. And then, he's kind of been able to just ride out a stellar career out in Minnesota.
Yeah, they've got, obviously, Filip Gustavsson and Jesper Wallstad as some of the younger goalies. Wallstad was a first-rounder in 2021 for them, and obviously they have Filip Gustavsson. So, yeah, it's good to have some nice veteran presence there. In the net as they've got two young keepers making their way up the system. Welcome back. We'll get you set for the day ahead here. Coming up in a matter of a few hours, we've got some Blue Jays baseball on our airwaves. We'll have Blair and Barker pregame edition coming up at noon. Jays looking for the sweep of the New York Yankees. They welcome back an old friend in Marcus Stroman. They've already seen him once this year. They played him in the opener against the Yankees, the home opener for the Yankees back a couple weeks ago.
Picked up a win in that contest.
Picked up a win.
First time the Yankees lost a home opener since like the 60s.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that was the Jays' only win in that series. Stroman 1-1 with a 2.12 ERA, 17 strikeouts. They'll be going up against Kevin Gausman for the Toronto Blue Jays, who outside of really his first start of this year has been not that great.
No, not good at all.
It's been a little bit a little bit of trouble there. Watched him on Friday. Against the Colorado Rockies, he did not look good in that one. So
the reports out of spring were saying that it was elbow pain for him, right? That was the kind of thing
so,
that he
yes.
was dealing with.
Yes,
which is you kind of mentioned it earlier, like if he is dealing with something, now is the time to kind of I need a little bit of stint on the IL.
It was shoulder fatigue.
Okay. Elbow would have been a bit more worrisome. And I was almost confused by elbow stuff with him because it's not like he throws a lot of breaking balls. He's a two-pitch pitcher, basically, fastball and splitter.
And the Rockies were seeing everything. They were hitting the ball, the face off that ball. They did do an MRI back in spring. There was no structural concerns or injury. But it feels like I'm still leaning to the fact that he missed all of spring. He only had three innings in the one start back in the springtime. So I'm thinking they're almost using this as a ramp-up period.
Sure.
Hopefully the offense can help him out a little bit because I know they tried there on that start. They got out to a 2-1 lead, but then, you know, Colorado just broke the game open. The Yankees can certainly do that as well. That'll be a 107 first pitch down at Rogers Center for that finale. Off day tomorrow, and then the Jays will be out on the road for two series. I believe they'll be in San Diego over the weekend and then head out to Kansas City to take on the really hot Kansas City Royals. Who they're kind of like the Baltimore Orioles right now. Bobby Witt Jr.
is
an absolute god. If you haven't watched this guy play, these are the young players that are coming up in Major League Baseball that will be stars sooner rather than later. But Bobby Witt
Baltimore
Jr.
called up Jackson Holiday again too, like one of the top prospects.
He's
in
up on
baseball.
This team. Like the Orioles, like they have that record. They haven't been swept in 97 straight series. Make it 98 now. Since calling up Gunnar or Adley Rutschman back in 2022, it pays to suck in baseball for a little bit. And if you can hit on those players, and credit the Orioles, credit the Royals, even the Pirates are off to a super good start. These are the teams that, you know, struggled for so long, and their young prospects are hitting right now. So I'm excited to see the Jays head out to Kansas City next week and see Bobby Witt Jr. It is the penultimate night of the NHL's regular season. A couple games. Really, there's only four games on the schedule. It's the final game in Arizona. That's the, kind of like the big game I'm centering my attention on this evening. It's the Edmonton Oilers and the Arizona Coyotes. You can watch this one on Sportsnet West starting at 8 o'clock. It's a late one as it's part of the second half of a doubleheader. It's Scotiabank Wednesday Night Hockey. The Leafs and the Lightning go at 5. But the Oilers and Coyotes, they'll play the final game in the desert. This incarnation of the Arizona Coyotes. We don't know what the future awaits for hockey in the desert. I know Morello is probably going to move the Tucson Roadrunners, the AHL team, to Phoenix, to Tempe, to play out of the Mullet Arena, to just keep hockey alive there, to say, hey, we have a team here. You can still come out and watch hockey. But the thing is
Tucson going to be Salt
they don't have
Lake's...
an affiliate. They don't have an affiliate.
Okay.
That's the thing. Like Salt Lake would be...
Ask.
Salt Lake is going to need a new affiliate. There is no affiliate agreement between the Roadrunners and this new and the
Salt Lake team
and the Salt Lake franchise. So we'll see what happens there. But there will be still hockey there. But I don't know. It's going to be. I don't think it's going to feel the same way as like if you go back to like I don't remember the Thrashers last game in 2011 because I don't think anybody knew it might have been their last game because then they were moved May 31st.
Yeah.
You knew the Jets were moving in 95-96, but there were still playoffs after that. It was their final regular season game, but then they had a first round series with Detroit, so there was still a little bit more hockey, and then the fans got to say their goodbyes that way. The ticket prices for this game tonight, as Maddie mentioned there in the morning report, $1,000 to $10,000 USD.
Jeez,
those $1,000 tickets are going to be standing room only seats as well. And I'm like, did y'all just realize today was you guys had a hockey team in that.
Crazy.
You can blame the ownership. You can blame everything about properly getting the team out in the community, and they did. They did get the team out in the community because it brought Austin Matthews and Matthew Nyes to the NHL, and it's probably going to bring more players to the NHL out of that area. So the Coyotes did a hell of a job in making hockey a thing down there.
Uh-huh.
It's just they never had the proper people caring for the team down there.
Right.
That's the one thing, and I don't think Alex Murillo will be a welcome back with open arms like he may think.
Uh-huh.
He'll have a chance, but they got a lot to figure out there. They need a proper ownership, somebody who really cares.
Right.
Want to go win that auction at the end of June, get your land, build your building. You build it, they will come. Sorry, Quebec. I know Quebec built the building, and they didn't come, but Phoenix is obviously for a different matter. It's the fifth largest TV market in the United States. Tons of population in that area. it took a lot for Gary to finally say no to them. And it's exactly. like they did not want to be there 3 more years at the mullet.
No, like you can't have 3 more years at the mullet. It was fine for a little transitional thing.
It
here.
Was fine for it was you if cute. You knew you were moving into a new building. Yeah. If you had the new building, if you were building it the at whole, the time, it would have been fine.
The whole college party atmosphere in the little college barn was all cute for a couple of years, but you're telling me they're going to play like...
Remember when you started on the road because you didn't have a dressing room?
Yeah.
You started like... Gosh. You played first like 15 games on the road?
Mm-hmm. Like even down to like the production of it, like the cameras and the way it was broadcasted, almost looked reminiscent of like a junior stream.
And we're gonna be seeing we're gonna be seeing it next year in baseball when Oakland heads out to Sacramento.
Yeah, that's gonna be
it's gonna be disgusting to see. And that's like the leagues need to figure out these.
They're
owners.
Like playing in a sandlot,
essentially
for major league standards, yeah. right? Like
intimate
God.
Park. It's gonna be bad. And I know hockey. It's all like the rink. The dimensions are the same and everything. Yeah. But I get it. I don't think the players are. I think the players are okay with this. Like, I'm sorry if you bought a home down there in Arizona in the last year. Like, you don't read the news.
Mm-hmm.
Do you not know what's happening with your team, that it's not stable?
Well, it sounds like the new owner wants to act like almost like a warm blanket to these players. And say like, hey, you're going to get a new facility. You're going to have things that are NHL standard, NHL first class, all that. But
Ryan Smith's going to do a hell of a job, I think, in Salt Lake City. He owns the Utah Jazz as well. And, you know, despite the Jazz not having a lot of success in the recent times, that building's filled every night supporting the Utah Jazz.
That's a team that loves
They
their
won,
team.
What, 29 games this year? They won like 28 sucked. Games this year. They were a terrible team this year and have been for a little bit.
They haven't really been good since Donovan Mitchell and Rudy Gobert were there.
They were in the 07 Western Conference Final against San Antonio.
They were a one seed a couple years back. Might have been like 18, 19 or Yeah, somewhere yeah. around there. But, yeah, when they had Mitchell and Gobert kind of mm-hmm. as their two duos. They won 31 games.
But I think, Salt Lake is a good sports town. They support their teams there. It's a college town as well. You got the University of Utah there. It's one of the youngest population bases in the entire United States. I think they're going to do well there. And if Salt Lake City, you know, they're the favorite probably to land the 2030 Winter Olympics, mm-hmm. Which will come with a new building. And everything, because I think they will have to do some work to the Delta Center. So it's not a hockey building; it is a basketball building. So I don't know what the capacity will be there, or if there's going to be some weird sight lines, like when the Islanders played in Brooklyn, or when the Coyotes played in Phoenix in their first few years down at the American West Airlines Arena. It's going to be a fascinating watch tonight. I don't think you're going to see the same emotion out of it, but we'll see. The Coyotes have been playing well. They've been playing strong since really the announcement.
Yeah, and
been playing
if tough. If you do see a lot of motion, it like you kind of mentioned, it's like it's too little, too late.
Mm-hmm.
Seems like it's the market there that didn't support the team in the same way. It's not like they tried. Like it's mm-hmm. they tried, it just didn't work. I guess, but
like the building was for their first few years in Phoenix, they supported the team.
Uh-huh.
They were out there. The rink was just not properly meant for them, and then they got the building out in Glendale, and that's where not a lot of people want to take the hour or so it takes to leave your house during rush hour to get to a rink for a 7:30 puck drop, it's tough, and that's where you see a lot of the rinks and stadiums now are coming back into the downtown area, where back in the 80s and 70s, you'd build them outside of the downtown area, mm-hmm. more for the suburbs. Things changed, and it didn't go well in Glendale there. And despite what they've done built up in Glendale, it just hasn't been good ownership since they moved to Glendale. And then since they got here, it's just been a mess. The NHL owned them. They haven't had a really strong playoff run since their run to that
Western Conference Final
in 2012. Mike Smith, Shane Doan, that was a fun time. It is the final game for the Arizona Coyotes tonight. Sportsnet West has you covered. 8 o'clock, Oilers and the Coyotes. As well, at 5 o'clock, the Maple Leafs are in Tampa Bay. Auston Matthews stuck on 69 goals. I don't think he should play tonight. I think the Leafs should... I think Sheldon Keefe should dress.
I don't think he should but I
stretch.
Want him to.
Of course.
I want him to.
Of course. I think seeing 70 goals is cool. It'd be awesome to see, but... Man, you risk any of those guys in this game. And I know it's got, again, we don't know how much Tampa Bay is going to be playing. I know they probably want to get Kucherov to 100 assists. But again, these are two teams locked in their position right now. They're not going to play each other in the first round this year. I think he'll play. Should he play? Probably not. But You're not going to tell him he's going to play all 82 games, going to finish with 70 goals. Hey.
Yeah. How can you tell a guy like Austin Matthews having this historical season?
And especially
that, like,
there
hasn't
been an injury like Connor McDavid. There hasn't been anything lingering around Austin Matthews. Yeah. If anybody, you want to rest probably Mitch Marner, because he's been coming out. He's fresh off of an injury. Or maybe John Tavares, because he's an older guy.
And it's different. If he was at like 67, 68, like you're one off. You can taste
it. Yeah, you're one away.
It hasn't been done in, you know, and since McGillney and Solani.
Exactly. It's been over 30 years since that happened. And for this era, sure, he's probably going to have another chance to do 70 goals again, because I think he is this era's Ovechkin.
Nuts, man.
He is this era's best goal scorer.
Ovechkin only had one 60-goal season, correct?
Yeah.
Like, Matthews is going to have two in 3 years, and one of them might be 70.
That's pretty freaking cool.
That's bananas.
That's pretty cool. It is amazing what he has done. And despite what Toronto's done, and I kind of had that sense yesterday, and I'm sure, you know, I ask a Leaf fan, they probably punch me in the face, but it's like, it's okay this year if you're losing. Nobody's like away from Toronto.
I was trying to
Okay to lose.
I was trying to poke
round.
That idea with Connor yesterday when he was helping us out. But Connor, give him credit. He actually seems like one of the more logical Leafs fans, and he kind of understands that maybe the expectations around this team necessarily aren't the same as they were in the last couple of years. Like, there was so much pressure that the absolute mountain of a hurdle it was for them to just get out of the first round is behind them now. So,
and now, like, yeah, you want more. But again, this year, it's like, it hasn't been the same as last year. The team maybe isn't as good as last year. But I will push back. They did not have Bertuzzi and Domi on this team last year.
If you lose to Florida in the second round here, it's not going to be the same way you lost to a Florida team last year.
Exactly.
Like, no one's going to be like, that's embarrassing.
No,
and no one's going to be trolling you with the "we want Panthers" chants and all that, right?
No, so. I think because this is a Toronto team that, despite all the crap that's been thrown at them, still a very good year for the Maple Leafs, despite what they've had to deal with their defense core and their goaltending. And a lot of it has to do with that Austin Matthews season, and that he's had, and Nylander had a great start, fell off.
Another thing with the Leafs, like, you look at the Panthers and you'd say, that is a team that can sweep a lot of, like, any team in the playoffs. They're capable of getting that hot and winning four games in a row. Not sure if you could say the same about the Leafs with the flaws they have.
No, I think the Leafs, if they're going to win a playoff series, it's going to be a 6-7 game, muck it out,
grind it out
series. That's how the Leafs are going to win in this postseason.
Yep.
And I think they've got two horses that can do it. They got Bertuzzi, they got Domi, two guys that play that type of style. They got some of those muckers on the defense. Simone Benoit has been a nice little addition to that back six. He got a contract. They got the guys that can piss you off in a series. And that's where I think they can go toe-to-toe with a Boston in that side. Like, I don't think they will be pushed around totally. You can't have Marchand lipping off at the bench and nobody reacting.
Yeah.
I think if Marchand reacts, you have to react.
They're still going to be little bro in a lot of those series, I don't think they're completely outclassed.
But I think they've gotten better. I think they've got a little bit more edge around them, that they won't be such a push around.
I agree.
But we shall see. Postseason, like we said, get underway on Saturday. I do like how it's like the season ends Thursday, day off, postseason.
Get into it.
You're not waiting.
That's a problem I have with the NBA. They stretch it out way too long, especially in the NBA finals. It's like once every, like, the games are like spread out once every 4 days.
They have 2 day breaks.
3 day break. Yeah.
And then, like, or with the NBA, you'll have like, game 7 of this Eastern semifinal, game 1 of the Western Conference final on the same day.
So dumb. Also, the way the NBA scheduled this play-in is kind of whack, too. Like, why'd they have two West games yesterday? And now, Chicago's having a late-ass
local
start.
My guess is it has to be something to do with the networks. TNT is in charge of the Western Conference Final this year.
Oh.
So they probably got the play-in games. They wanted to schedule them, do their TNT broadcast on the Tuesday. ESPN has coverage of the Eastern Conference Final this year, so they're going to want their Eastern play-ins played on the same day. I know it sucks for people out in it makes sense for New Orleans. That was a 6:30 local tip for them. That's easy.
Yeah.
Tonight in Chicago, Atlanta's the second game. That's going to be a 9:30 local start in Chicago. Chicago's been, they're used to that type of stuff. They're always kind of used as that team. Like, you're a de facto Western city, but you're not really a Western city.
Yeah.
So there'll be Eastern Conference play-ins tonight. Philadelphia oh my God, who the heck is Philly playing?
They're playing the Miami Heat.
The Sixers and the Heat. winner there, that's the 7-8 matchup, correct? So that would be a matchup with the
Hawks and Bulls. Or no,
7-8
with
the Bucks, right? The Bucks are the 2 seed, right?
The Knicks are the 2 seed.
Knicks are the 2 seed. Yes. So yeah, I wonder, like, if Philly ends up being the 8 seed, I know they got Embiid back. I know nobody's given, it should be the Celtics walk their way to the NBA Finals, but maybe the Sixers could be the one team that could mess with the Celtics a little bit, take a game or two.
Yeah, I had a guest on yesterday talking about some of the NBA stuff, and it really felt like the only teams that were kind of capable of making a run out of the play-in here is like maybe the Lakers on the West. Like they've done it before.
Yeah. They've done this before where they've ran to the Western Conference Final coming out of the play-in.
Seeding doesn't necessarily matter ever with LeBron James.
It doesn't.
So it doesn't. I still don't like their chances against the
Denver.
Like Jokic might average 40 in that series because they're not going to want to put AD on him for that entire stretch. They need him to get buckets. It's going to probably be Hachimura guarding Jokic, and then LeBron and AD are going to be kind of floaters helping for some help plays because Jokic is just so dynamic with the playmaking side of things. So that makes sense. And then like Philly is a team that shouldn't have been in the play-in series.
If Embiid was healthy, they're a top 4 or 5 seed. Yeah, for sure.
So that's the other side of things for
I think
they've
only lost like 8 games with Embiid in the lineup.
Yeah, he's been crazy. And if he was healthy the entire season, he's likely the MVP. And I don't think that's being talked enough around you. I know there's a lot of basketball talk, but
it's all good. 1 minute left.
Yeah, sure. the NBA MVP should almost be talked about in the same way as the NHL
MVP.
Yeah,
it's so crazy.
It's
a dilemma.
SGA needs to get some love for the MVP.
Shai Gilgeous-Alexander is taking the Oklahoma City Thunder, that young group that's going to be good for a long time. Chet Holmgren is going to be a monster for years to come. I think it might be one of the toughest NBA MVP award deciding. Like, it's going to come down to Jokic and SGA, you think. And
Doncic is in there, too, because he's putting up a crazy stat line. And that's a team that, could make some noise in the playoffs. So
they vote on the MVP before the playoffs, right, in the NBA?
What was that question?
They vote on the MVP before the playoffs, right?
At least they used to. Remember they used to give it to, like, the winner on the first game of the playoffs?
Yeah, I remember that.
I think it might be voted on after now, actually. I think that changed. Because LeBron took that awful Cavs team to the NBA Finals in 2018 when they moved off of Kyrie Irving, and their point guard ended up being Derrick Rose, and they took him to the NBA Finals, and he should have been the MVP, but it ended up going to Harden after the end of the season there. But I mean, he also had a crazy year as well.
The Hawks and Bulls can be found on Sportsnet 360. Again, that's a late one, 8:30 start, but it's two games in the NHL tonight, both on Sportsnet. You got the Leafs and Lightning as Austin Matthews tries to chase down 70 goals, and then at 8 o'clock, the final game at the Mullet Arena for the Arizona Coyotes. As they're heading off to Salt Lake City after this season, Oilers looking to they got two games left here. They can't win the division. They're locked into the 2 seed. I wonder how much of the McDavid you see down the stretch here. I think they might play tonight. I wonder about tomorrow.
Yeah,
I think you're going to see a lot of healthy scratches on in game 82 for the Oilers. But that'll do it for us. I want to thank all of our guests today, Pete Blackburn and Brent Cron. Thank you to GVP for making us sound oh so good, and intern Simon for cutting clips and hanging along with us as well. A little bit of Jeff Merrick Show. He's up next. I wonder if I have a guest here for you. I do have a guest. 10:05, Elliot Friedman. 10:35, head coach of the Washington Capitals, Spencer Carberry. They're off to the postseason. And then at 11 o'clock, little Merrick versus Wyshynski as Greg Wyshynski joins the program. And then Blair and Barker pregame at noon. Jays and Yankees, 107 first pitch. Jays looking for the sweep of the New York Yankees. Kevin Gausman up against Marcus Stroman. We'll be back tomorrow. Talk at you then. Stay safe today and keep it locked right here. Sportsnet 960 The Fan.